Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday Coffee Tea with me. And today we're proud to have with us one of the original four warriors, Peter the Great, King of the Vikings. Come in, Peter.
Hey, good morning, folks. How's everybody doing? Hi, Mel.
You have to be a warrior to get through this, eh, Pete?
Well, yeah, you and I used to make the point that it took warriors, someone is willing to do what it takes to get the job done. So that's not an easy task, but we can do it, folks. And yeah, I'm proof of it. So that's what Mel's been trying to persuade you folks of fully for well over a decade now. And don't let the disease convince you that you can't, because the current dogma that you can't overcome it is just not true. I've been in remission about 8 years now. I live a life that's, you know, I have plenty of energy. Enjoy the health in my 70s that I probably didn't expect. So, yeah, that's how I would kick things off, is to encourage you folks that if you stay the course, and this protocol is restoring lives and overcoming more gallons. And if you believe that, you can overcome it and stay the course. You will succeed.
Well, let me say, Peter, that since we're going to throw it out to questions, okay, because that was what you requested of me, okay. So, but I first want to welcome, I guess that is that Diane and Paul? Okay. Let's see. Oh, no. How about, is that Catherine of the Desert? Okay. Well, whoever it is, they're not talking. But anyway, Peter, there are a couple of things that I asked you to maybe bring to the attention of these people, because as many times as I've done it, okay, it doesn't have the impact that it used to in the old days when we didn't have these conference calls all the time. And the only way that people were really communicating was back and forth in the forum on a regular basis. So yeah. What do you feel? How do you feel about posting and the things that you read when you got here and the things that you wrote when you left here so that others, okay, could pick up?
I muted the person who wouldn't tell me who they were, and they were the one making the echo. And now it's nice and clear. So, I mean, really, Peter, am I wrong that it's really important for everyone to post as much as possible?
No, actually, I was listening to a radio broadcast the other day, a health program, and they used the term therapeutic alliance, and it catapulted me back to where I had written a post about it years ago. What it states, basically, it describes the notion that treatment protocols addressing our chronic conditions, like Morgellons, should fundamentally include having someone to talk with and to participate with in the recovery of their disease, up to and including journaling and posting with those groups of people. So, you know, I asked myself the question, could it be that this alliance with others may be what is missing from those that don't get well? And could it be a possible reason why we get well here in your community? Could it possibly be that to share our recovery and to choose, you know, to remain active and available in this forum is a magic, part of the magic that works here, and that's what's needed. I'm fully persuaded that it is. I believe that journaling is very helpful, but also, again, the therapeutic, which means to heal, alliance, is something that you should clearly think about, folks, and participate in.
Okay, well, Pete, you know, that's what I have been trying to preach. You know, it took so many years to like figure out everything, okay, and you always continue to learn, but it became very important that two things happened. that we develop a feel of community amongst those who are here, because they're the only ones in the world who are going to even comprehend what we might be dealing with. And to have a place where people are not making fun of you and looking at you weird and thinking you lost your marbles, I mean, it's important in the healing process.
That's correct.
Have companionship and compassion. C&C, companionship and compassion. I don't know where I'm coming up with this stuff. Must have been the coffee. All right. Maybe it was the cheesecake. Who knows?
Jack, don't see it. Well, if we look at it from a physiological state or a natural state, which is what I've trained myself to do over years, we can also see that the term epigenetics, how many of you folks may have heard the term epigenetics in your discovery? Epigenetics, you know, there's a lot of Scrabble words that you'll hear me use. Don't let this overwhelm you. Just kind of let the underlying premise or precept behind the big word is what really I want you to embrace. So epigenetics is a word that's been talked about for a lot of times. And in its simplest form, it states that, you know, the relationships we have, the emotions that we demonstrate, and the environments that we are in are actually expressing genes. So if we're in a therapeutic alliance with others in this community or other communities, I don't recommend Facebook communities because there's a lot of vitriol, there's a lot of dissension, there's a lot of argumentative nature, and there's a lot of predation that goes on. But in this forum, we don't have that. And this is it's an older model where people can communicate in a more succinct and direct way. And so if we look at epigenetics and we understand that we can actually turn on and turn off good genes we want to turn off, good genes we want to turn on, bad genes we can turn off. We can do that through relationships with people, through the environments we go to, like a good church community or activities where we're book clubs for women, any number of things we can do that are actually going to allow us to express those healing genes. And that's something very significant that I would want folks to understand. Again, this forum allows you to do that. You know, it's good that you lift one another up, but it's also good. Back in the day, we journaled our experiences from week to week, where the challenges were, where the protocol was teaching us how to overcome those challenges. So if you use that and focus on that, you're going to be expressing healing genes. There's a whole science about it that maybe I'll have an opportunity to discuss a little later in this call. But there you go. That's important to understand, folks.
I'm going to jump in if I can, Pete.
Sorry, what's that?
I'm going to jump in if I may.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to be interactive with you, Mel, because, you know, you birthed my path down the physiological discovery, you and John Bergsteiner, and a lot of what you and I have experienced, we have to make sure we don't lose sight of. We keep it in the forefront. So absolutely, please, yeah, interact. That's important.
Well, I tell everybody since the beginning, Pete, that keeping a book with subdividers like we did back in grade school is a really marvelous tool. And if you're willing to put the work in it takes to do it, it will help expedite your recovery. Now, there's reasons. You learn so much, meaning all of us, from other people, from what they wrote, where their experience, what they found helpful. And what I'm always asking everyone to do, because it's not for me. I'm eating cheesecake, fettuccine, Alfredo, chicken parmesan, you name it, and I'll down it. In fact, I threw the tactical abs away. I was in the reverse mode. I started getting fatter. All right, never mind. But keeping a book is for you too. You can look back in that book and you can see how far you've come when you have a bad day, and then you can change what's going on inside because you've taken the anxiety away by understanding after a while and keeping a book. It has cycles. You're not going backwards. It's the cycle. Don't be upset. Don't get anxiety. Don't be afraid. You're going to feed it when you have fear.
Yes.
Go ahead, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Information, Mel, has many sides. It'll come forth then it'll disappear as new information comes in behind it. Then at a later date, it'll come back around and it becomes news again or noteworthy again. This is where journaling is important. You can go back and look at your thread. I do it with mine and just discover things that you've written that you had no idea, that you completely lost sight of. So it's a repeating round of expressing what's going on in your recovery that's designed to heal and to continue to generate discovery that you made and keep it in the foremost of your thoughts. So that's important to understand as well, and why this forum was so useful for me and so many others, you know, when it first began, when it was first growing. And again, just don't lose sight of that, folks. It's very important.
I mean, we have forum and we have forum archives. There are 37 pages in each. If you went back to the beginning and just clicked on the ones that you had interest in, you would learn things that we don't even talk about anymore.
That's correct. So, yeah.
I mean, really, I mean, some things are forgotten. And that's why I say repetition is part of restoration, because too many things are forgotten. There's 15 years of history here. If you just dig in and try to learn, you will get better.
Yes, you will. You'll be reminded again and again that everybody's body is different. And you'll be reminded that you need to tune in to how foods and herbs and this protocol mix with your body. And then you'll try to notice the changes that are needed that will be unfolding naturally in your recovery. And, you know, the really good news is that with our unique customizing of things with this protocol, there is still a universal approach to fixing and fortifying immune function that's at the heart of what we do, what Mel teaches. And this is why Mel's protocol works. It's a science. It helps repair metabolic syndrome, which is what our disease is at its core. It helps the pancreas and liver, again, process fats, and it unclogs the gut passageway. It feeds the glands, cleans the blood. It just fortifies you. So it's balanced and effective, folks. And again, it's the premier after years of doing this and coming alongside people. Mel and I know that it's the premier treatment formula. It is the way back. This is a disease of co-infections, toxicity, immune suppression, adrenal suppression or adrenal fatigue, endocrine messaging being off, vitamin and nutrient deficiencies. And the immune system is very complex, but if you take a multi-nutrient support at its core, you give the body everything it needs and take away what it doesn't want, and it doesn't know how to do anything but heal. The Bible says we're wonderfully and fearfully made. And so Mel's been teaching you guys that for a lot of years, and I have as well in my walk. Small things that are happening in your body are making huge differences. The illness does have certain critters that have hijacked our bodies, but we have to just cycle them out. That's why we call it a detox. And this means that each month or maybe every 5 weeks, you'll move through a phase where these parasites are hatching and releasing. And so you're going to experience symptoms. We call that a Herxheimer or a natural response. Mel says you're going to have to get worse before it gets better. That's die-off. And body eliminates the pathogens and rebuilds the internal terrain over time. And the sores heal. The bumps dissipate. Our immune system comes on board again. It's no longer outflanked. And we reach what I call remission. I believe the disease is chronic. In other words, it's always been with us, I think, and it's always going to be with us. But it just doesn't affect our lives anymore once we get clear of symptoms and get the immune system back on board. So hope that helps in a general way understand how I think you should look at your situation.
Okay, well, there's another thing that I keep not saying lately, and then I'm getting feedback because I'm not saying it lately. You taught me, Peter, to read the labels, or maybe Jill taught me to read the labels. Because you see, when I moved from Georgia to Reno, Nevada, I knew Logos. I knew John's daddy. That's how old I am. No, nothing. Keep quiet, you. All right. And I was taking the thymic pill. Really, I was.
I called Jill up one day, and I was, first time I think I ever cried on the phone to anybody. And I started crying, and she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "They told me I'm going to be dead by Christmas, Jill." And Jill called John that day, and she told John, "You know, I have this guy, I've been talking to him since he lived here, knew your dad, he's very funny, he's always nice, help him." And so John called. But Jill asked me, "How could you get sick taking the thymic?" She said, "How many did you take a day, Mel?" I said, "Oh, one a day." She said, "Mel, you never read the label?" I said, "No, I never read the label." She said, "Too bad, but we'll help, okay?" And she did. And then Peter, when he came on board, man, he used to scream to everybody to read the levels. When you're in the grocery store, if you go to the pharmacy, whatever you buy, read the labels to make sure there's nothing in that packaging that can harm you.
Yeah.
Take it away, Pete.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. You know, if you discover what's in the labels, you're going to realize why it works. You know, and it's also can be a format for you to take your discovery to. And if you look at John's site and you look at every product he makes available to us, and then you scroll down, it'll tell you exactly what it's doing. And again, to circle back to that term epigenetics or our experiences, what we stream into our consciousness and what we discover actually releases the healing potential at a cellular level. So that's why John put that there, is so that he's hopeful that when you look to a product on his site that he offers, you'll also notice that he gives you a description of what's in it and what those specific ingredients do for you. Once you discover what the ingredients are, then you'll see other products online that are offering those similar ingredients. You can come to realize that John's been so far out in front and has developed ingredient profiles that you're just now seeing surface on the internet in ways that he discovered years ago. So I would encourage you, one of the things that I did was I would use the labeling as a way to lead my discovery. So let's say we look at one product and it has one ingredient, then I would go and study that ingredient. And then by doing so, I came to understand that that again was releasing the healing force of that understanding. So many people want to say, just tell me what to do. And I'll tell them, I believe you do as well, Mel, I can't do that. I can't tell you what to do. It's not that simple. What our role is, folks, is to empower you to realize that your own guidance system is far more important than any dogma you can discover online. You know, look to your own research based upon this protocol first and foremost. Use that as your foundational platform for discovery. And the best way to do it is to look at labeling that John's put on there. Let me give you one quick example. His vitamin C has quercetin in it. You won't find any other vitamin C that I've been able to find that has quercetin. Quercetin is a natural antihistamine, so it also has rutin and hispadrin, which are the actual what's called riboflavonoids that you would get from the fruit from the pulp. So it's giving you everything you need in the vitamin C outside of just ascorbic acid. So when you look at the labels, you can say, quercetin, what's that? You go and discover quercetin, you see, oh, if I have congestion issues, vitamin C in this protocol is addressing that because it has quercetin. Once you understand that, then it builds confidence and it releases those genes that are going to reinforce that in your emotional network. And that's called behavioral kinesiology, the behavior of our thoughts and our emotions and how our body reacts on them. And reading labels is the simplest, most effective, profound way to do that. It gives you a perfect model to follow for your discovery. Removes all distractions from things that are outside of what really matters, and that you must avoid distractions. And it just leads you to everything your body needs to realize about why this protocol works, how bioremediation and changing the bioterrain is the healing mechanism in play. Gives you the confidence and the wherewithal to stay the course and fulfill what it's obviously able to do. And I'm proof of that. So there you go. That kind of addressed labeling, I hope, Mel?
Well, yeah, I think so, Pete. I mean, you know,
You can only learn from reading the labels. And that's one of the simpler things that we're going to ask you to do, but it's for your own protection. And it's for your ability to develop the knowledge and understanding of why the whole protocol is the synergy. I've been on the phone in the last 24 hours with Dr. Edward Griffin, with Robert Scott Bell, with John B., and with Peter, okay? I call them the Big Four, okay? I mean, you know, by the way, Peter, congratulations. Robert said he'd love to do a show with you in January.
Great. It sounds good. Look forward to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I forgot to tell you. We kept missing each other on the phone calls.
Yeah, I've been a fan of Robert for many years. Him and I, although we don't speak much and don't have a relationship like you do, we are in agreement on so many things. And I have taken much of what he's taught regarding the silver, his protocol for gut health, the aloe vera silver protocol that he talks about regularly. You can find on his website. It's a powerful tool. So again, align yourselves, folks, with those people that have found their way to remission and the discovery that they can bring forth into your mainstream thinking. And let everything else go, because there's so much misinformation and disinformation about this disease that will create fear and hold you from accomplishing what you're trying to do.
Peter, you, I, and Robert have something really, a bond that you might not. We've all suffered from multiple diseases and recovered.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, he did a show up in the state of Washington, or maybe it was Oregon. And Sonia Henning, I call her, up there, went to the show and told him that she was part of this group. And she told me, he ranted and raved about this group, the community. And, you know, it just made me feel so proud. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely, I do. Yes, indeed. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
All right. I'll bet. Do you think there's anything else you want to cover, or you just want to throw it open to questions?
Well, you know, there's so much to understand and to learn over the 10 years I've been doing this. I thought that it might be best for your to provide an opportunity to give your audience the ability to ask me questions where they want to learn, where they want to better understand, and I'll see if I can't help them do that. I think that's a good format. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I think I agreed earlier that this was a great idea. It takes me out of the loop, which is nice. I can try to be quiet for a change.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Once around. Good morning, Jen. Do you have a question for Peter the Great?
Hi.
Good morning, Jen.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Yes, I don't know, I have a specific question, but some feedback. Just like how great it is to hear you talk about the epigenetics and reading labels, because I'm like so, I do that way, I feel like I do that too much. I become so like nervous about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, that kind of holds me back.
Well, thank you. It lets you understand what you're putting in your body, and that's very important.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How are you doing with your recovery, Jen? Are you in the midst of symptoms? Do you have energy?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. No, I had major symptoms, so I'm recovering from the symptoms right now, but I'm doing better. Because at first, like, it took me down where I couldn't get up. I couldn't even stand on my legs.
Yes.
So now I'm able to move a lot better.
Good
I'm
for you.
She's a warrior, Peter. She's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I'm in a wheelchair.
Okay, so Jen, one thing that I would want you to really pay attention to is in the protocol, the Ubinol. John actually provides that free because he realizes how important it is. Ubinol is extremely important for our cellular energy potential, mitochondrial health, the little machines in our cells that make energy. So I want to make sure that you, because you face those challenges, you don't miss your juvenile, okay? And lean on that for the support you need for energy.
All right, cool. Well, thank you.
What about the nitro, Peter? What about the nitro?
Well, the nitro complex is really good, but, you know, I think juvenile is much more effective at giving us regular energy support at the cellular level. John talks about cellular energy potential. That's what we need to do to get well from this. If you distill Morgellons down into its primal form, all that it is a lack of mitochondrial function at a cellular level. And if your cells are sick, we're sick. So we heal one cell at a time, and the juvenile is vital to energy production in the body. That's the point. Okay?
Got it. Yeah.
I found that interesting, Peter, because at this point in my life, I'm still taking two a day minimum.
I would think that's a good idea for our age. It's called C-coenzyme Q10. Juvenile is the bioactive form. Again, John's products give you the form of particular nutrients, macro and micronutrients, plant sterols, things in their most available form to the body to best utilize it. So juvenile is another name. And enzymes are very important to healing our disease. So with inflammation, if you have that, Jen, make sure you're not missing your magnificyme either. That's really important. The serapeptase is an enzyme that will help reduce inflammation and clear out debris since you're in a wheelchair. It'll help you with that.
Okay, yes, perfect. Okay, good deal. Yeah, no, thank
you. Stay the course, sweetheart. You're in the right place. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a matter of staying diligent and giving your body time, and you'll surely thrive. Whether or not you get completely clear, you know, that's a matter of time, but you will certainly thrive and be doing the right things using this protocol, okay?
Hey, Peter, Jen and I are going to write a book together, How to Cook a 7-Course Meal from a Wheelchair.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea.
I think it's something that well needed.
Absolutely. Anything else, Jen, before we move along?
What's up?
Go ahead, Jen. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Don't be sorry.
I thought you said anything else, Peter, and you said anything else, Jen. So.
Well,
Jen, there is one other thing with the juvenile that John provides. For those people that may be on statin drugs to control cholesterol, Mel, the enzyme is directly related to cholesterol. And cholesterol is made in the liver. It actually is a hormone that stimulates growth in the body and renewal. So it gets reduced by about 40% when we're on statins, cholesterol drugs. So if you're on a statin, cholesterol drug, by any chance, anyone that's listening this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are, you have to bear in mind the value of coenzyme Q10 or juvenile to mitigate for the downregulation of that because of the statins you're taking. So if you're on statins, make sure you're taking additional juvenile, okay?
All righty then. That's good news. Duncan, are you there?
Hi, Mel. I'm here. I have one comment and then a question for Peter.
Yes,
I was talking with Mel earlier this week. I mentioned I had bought a new kind of protein powder in the Whole Foods market. And I think it was called Garden of Life. So I don't think I had used it previously. And I didn't read the ingredients, which Mel reminded me I should have done. And I got my stomach got really, really sick on it. So anyway, kind of a lesson learned there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, Duncan. Glad you're here. The Garden of Life, just so you know, is a company that Mel and I discovered years ago. They've been around a very long time. But they went through a management change a while back. They were actually sued a number of years back. So the only reason I'm telling you that is we have companies that can be really have a good sound reputation when you vet them. Then ownership can change. They can go public and, you know, stockholders can and boards of directors can change their manufacturing practices. So Garden of Life is a company I used to really value, but I would be mindful that it might be something to investigate as to whether or not it's that particular company with the protein that affected you. Okay, just food for thought for you.
Yeah, probably, I don't know, something in that, in their particular formula. Maybe it's, you know, I think that kind of got me. But anyway, I'm pretty new in the protocol, and I'm kind of getting into my second month. Just made a second order with the supplements. The question I have, Peter, is, so my symptoms are in my environment, in my home environment, in my car, I have these, I'm sure other people have these, kind of these mites that fly around in the environment and they bite and sting.
Yes.
And then I also discovered that I have Morgellons fibers all over the place, like all over my home, all over the inside of my car. So my question is, you know, as we kind of progress through the protocol, as the months go by and we get, you know, our immunity gets better, our biome gets cleared out.
Yes.
What happens to these organisms? I mean, I assume that we're less attracted to that. Less attractive to them. Do they eventually leave the environment? I mean, these Morgellons are on everything.
I'm just wondering what
eventually happens to them.
That's a great question.
Before you jump in, let me jump in back here quick.
Sure, go ahead, Mel.
I told Duncan every day I talk to him, every time, he needs to come to Sunday prayer. Because it doesn't matter that I keep telling him, when you get better, it disappears, and you think it was a bad dream. But until that time, it may get worse as you go through the first 6 or 8 months, and the protocol creates even a bigger die-off than you have now. So I tell him, if he comes to prayer and fellowship, all the girls that have been here at least a year can tell him the same exact thing, and it will take this anxiety that he has, even if he don't admit it, okay, out of him, because that will help him heal even quicker.
Yeah, Mel, I understand what you're saying. I'm just kind of curious as to, there's like millions of these things in my environment. What happens to them once? Are they still there, but I just don't pay any attention to them?
So let me respond to that for you, Duncan. There is an environmental component. You know, the problem with Morgellons is it's a disease of infinite faces. I wrote about this once. Some people want to identify a tunneling organism that they're dealing with. Another sufferer has come across like black goo, and they're wondering what aspect that's. Another sees a 3-inch-long spine plastic-like thing that they pull from their skin. And another has your issue. These weird mites or these environmental issues that we can't make sense. Another a waspy thing, and on and on and on. But if we look at the environment, it's a matter of our body shedding, and biofilms will grow on any substrate in our environment. So our environment is shedding these things, and then they're attaching to places in our environment, and they are thriving and multiply. This basic complex, it hijacks other organisms in our environment, mites and insects and spiders, and it causes them to thrive and multiply. And there are microscopic parasites that are involved with this. But again, the most important thing is to realize that at its common denominator is a spirochete infection, a particular type of bacteria that's self-filamenting. It's making these filaments, and then our body is purging them. So one of the gifts that God brought into my experience, Duncan, was Natural Genesis. Kathy was one of the first people I spoke with alongside with Mel. And she explained to me that there's these microscopic mites that we don't really have a classification for that are loading in environments. They're causing issues with pets, dogs and cats. Itching and scratching mange for dogs, for example, is an actual mite. And so in my environment, I had these pigeons. I live in a senior apartment, And for me, it began with a sting one night. I never saw it, but I knew there was something in my apartment, Duncan. So Kathy suggested that these microscopic insects, and there's probably lots of them in our environment because of different reasons. We own pets or whatever. We bring them in from outdoors. That they all have an exoskeleton. Even though you can't see them, an exoskeleton is like a lobster-like shell. And enzymes will actually eat through organic material. So they will eat through this exoskeleton, regardless of whether you can see this parasite or not, and it will cause an early molt that causes it to shed and end its existence, basically. It dies. And it also works for the nymphs and the eggs behind it. So I had something in my apartment, Duncan. I believe it was pigeon mites. Mites are so small that were maybe in the carpeting or in the trenching along my sliders or my windows. So Kathy suggested that I spray Clean Green, because it's digestive enzymes that eat through organic material, around my windows, in my closets, along my baselines. I even sprayed it on my rugs. Don't get it real wet because you don't want to create mold, but I would lightly spray my bedding 40 minutes before I went to bed. And over time, whatever these particular aspects of our environment that we're dealing with, it will go away. So I want to encourage you, and Mel used to say, as we get better, the environment gets better. And the direct correlation is all this stuff, the fibers and stuff, are actually being produced by the infections in our body and are shedding, then loading and actually growing in our environment. The enzymes is a wonderful tool. I suggest you investigate, you know, what these enzymes do and how they break down organic material, and spray them. Spray your closets, spray around your baseboards, your windows, and even lightly your bedding before you go to bed 30 minutes. I think you'll see a world of difference in your environment. And over time, as you get better, your environment will improve. I don't have any issues anymore in here. I don't even have to spray them anymore. As I got well, they just went away. And Mel has made that clear that that's happened in his experience many times as well. Hope that helps, brother. Hope that gives you some encouragement and helps you understand.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks very much, Peter. Appreciate it.
You got it, brother.
All right, Big D, I told you Peter the Great would have some good info for you.
Yeah, I had Peter mention these spirochetes in our body, essentially, kind of the root cause of the Borgellons fibers. And I assume the protocol eventually clears those out of our system.
Yes, it does. It's the extension kits. The olive leaf acts as a natural antibiotic. The candida root also has some wormwood and things which are antiparasitical. The parabolics John offers, you might want to consider a cycle of that at some point. A lot of these products you don't need to stay on regularly, but you can cycle them in. Intestinal health is real important to get rid of these bacterial infections. But the last thing, Duncan, is you're absolutely right. Spirochetes are a particular type of bacteria that are gram-negative, and there's a group of them that actually create biofilms and create fibers. So it's not only fungal mycelial that we're seeing with our disease. There's bacterial fibers that are at the heart of the disease, which is why this protocol works. So you're on the right understanding, and just be assured your environment will improve over time as your body gets well, okay?
Yeah, thanks very much, Peter. Yeah, I just ordered the second set of the supplements with the extension kit. So I think it has, three additional products in there.
That's correct. You know, Pete, he's like everybody who just got here. They hope they're gone by Christmas. He's laughing on the truth, Peter.
And you know what, Dr. Spirit, the Holy Spirit will gift you with the understanding, the science. And you release that science and attach the faith in it, you will get well, brother. I've seen it work so many times, you just can't fake it. Simple wisdom, the faith with works together that brings remission, believe me, okay?
Thanks, Peter.
You bet, brother. Stay the course. Love you.
All right, Margaret. Come in, Margaret.
Oh, you perfect timing. I'm rolling out to my car at the grocery store. Can you hear me okay, or is it too loud?
Yep.
Okay.
No, you're good.
Good morning. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Peter. I do have a question. I have been having a lot of like rash breakouts, especially when in hot showers. That it makes my skin burn more than usual. I've also been doing a lot of fasting lately, so I have had a lot of like rapid dye off, I guess. Did you experience that? And is there anything extra that I should be doing to address these things? I just like give it time. I, you know, 45 minutes it dies down or whatever once I get out of the shower, but it's uncomfortable and annoying, that's for sure.
Well, I have one suggestion before he gives you sound advice, and that is you got to stop using hot water. They just love hot. I'd rather you use warm or cool water. The soap won't mind, but those bugs won't be as active.
Okay, I'll do that.
Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, so Margaret, are you noticing that your symptoms are specifically increased right after you're showering or bathing?
That symptom, yeah.
Okay, so Mel knows this. Come under this understanding. Mel, there's some background noise. Do you know what that is? It's just my phone. It's like a scratching or...
No, it's Margaret. I'll mute her until you're finished talking.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't want to mute her. I just didn't want to make sure.
No. I can unmute it. I mean, it's definitely...
So, Margaret, what Mel's come to understand, and what I've understood for a long time, is that there's something called competitive inhibition that takes place in every microbiome in our body. And the microbiome is another Scrabble word for the different types of flora. Flora is like bacteria and viral and fungal. Oh, Mel, I'm getting a terrible feedback on my end. Terrible. I don't know.
I know. I'm trying to figure out who it is, Pete. I think I got it on my head. I
okay,
can mute anybody.
That sounds
I'm
better.
I'm going to mute everybody. Hold on, Pete. All right, now let's unmute you, Peter. Okay, go ahead, Pete. Should not be anything.
Okay. So, Margaret, the reason I asked that question is I've come to understand that in your gut you have a microbiome, it's called, you might have heard that term. That's just a different variety of colonies of good flora in your gut. They work together, and they also express genes. When we get more gallons, we get out of balance. So we can have candida, which is actually a natural flora in the gut, that gets overabundant in the gut, and then we'll have food sensitivities to where leaky gut will arrive, and that particular candida will then get into the blood and go systemic. Now, with that said, the skin has a microbiome as well. There's over 250 types of bacteria and fungal and viral life forms on our skin that are not actually bad. They actually serve a useful purpose. Some funguses, for example, will feed off mercury. So if we have mercury overloads in our body, we might see fungal expressions on the skin. It's something we may not understand, but it may be a tool the body's using to reduce the mercury overload, which is one of the things that causes more gallons. So my point is your skin has over 250 different types of microbiome of flora, and competitive inhibition means if they're allowed to compete one another for space and we have a healthy variety of colonies, if you have as many of those 250 types in play on your skin, they're going to naturally thrive in the right way to keep one another in balance and your skin will express health. So the notion that we jump into the shower or take a bath because we get a skin issue three or four times a day, we're stripping that natural microbiome from the skin. We're not allowing those particular bacterial and fungal components to keep one another in check through competing. So they're inhibiting the growth of one another by competing for space. That's called competitive inhibition. It is vital to understand the relationship with bathing and the skin flora and our symptoms. Mel has told you guys, I've heard him on calls, that he doesn't bathe every day. I don't bathe every day because I don't want to strip that good flora from the skin. And my skin thrives because of it. So it's very important that you understand if you have itchiness or a skin expression, don't run in and bathe and come into contact with water. That can be very damaging to the health of our skin. And the last thing I would say is our skin is actually an excretory, which means it gets rid of waste from the body. So when the skin's expressing, it's part of our detox, and it tells us that it's taken up the load where the bowel and bladder are overwhelmed. We can't get all the things that we're killing that's getting us well out, so the skin will push them out. But the thing is, don't run in and bathe six times a day, folks. You're stripping that natural flora, and that natural flora has a healing force through competing for space with the other types that are on your skin that will allow your skin to thrive. Okay, that's very important. So take a couple of days off from bathing and let that skin flora build and see how your symptoms react to that. Okay, that would be something I would want you to take your discovery into. Okay?
You know, Peter, I'll add to that forever and ever. I mean, from the very beginning, I would have to tell people that you don't bathe and or shower every day. And the only way that I felt, or the way I felt they would understand the easiest, was the skin is the largest organ in the body. And every organ in your body must rest in order to heal and rejuvenate. If you wash the top layer of your skin away every single day, that is not possible to happen. End of story. Amen.
And our ancestors did not do that, by the way. You know, they would go down to the river every couple of days and bathe in the river. So, you know, God didn't create us to jump in a shower every day, you know. And so there's so much going on in the body with these things. They're not bacteria. It's not our enemy, folks. You know, there's more bacteria in our body by 10 times than there are human cells. So that bears forth the questions. Are we humans with too much bacteria, or bacteria having a human experience? I suggest it's the latter. And so the best way to treat a bacterial infection, in my humble opinion, is never with antibiotics. Although they're needed sometimes with serious infections, I do acknowledge that. But I didn't use them to get well. I don't use them to this day. I treat bad bacteria with good bacteria. That's so that they can compete and bring one another into balance. I believe if we understand the body, it has such a large amount of bacteria. If we understand that our gut has trillions of different colonies of bacteria, that's an important consideration for getting well. And in no small way, I credit it to why I was able to reach remission through that understanding. So don't run to bathing. And this is why the flora of the gut is so important. Hippocrates said all disease begins and ends in the gut, because all of those different colonies, you'll notice John's probiotics, they're not one or two with like 100 billion CFUs, that stands for colony forming units. They're 10 different strains. So we look at the variety that, again, going to create an environment in the gut where there's competition. And that's important to understand as well. So there you go. I know I'm giving you a lot, but I hope that helps.
No. That was really, I mean, that was terrific, okay? But again, to me, it's simple. Don't do it. That organ is the largest one we got. It must rest to heal and rejuvenate.
Yeah, so that's another part. When you look at some of the parts, would be bathing. And understanding the skin flora is very important to cultivate, and not to let it do its job and not always strip each day. Okay? I think that's very important. It's one of the things I wanted people to understand this morning.
Well, so many people come here and they've read everywhere else in the world they're supposed to bathe every day. That's just insanity.
Yeah. One of the ways that I bathe, just to share my own experience with folks, is I'll stand in the shower and I'll take enzymes, mix a bottle of enzymes, shake them up to where they're foaming, and I will just spray. I'll just top from my head to toe. I'll just dump the whole bottle on my body, and then I'll just step out and let it air dry. And you know, you can use the enzymes on the skin. They're not going to do any harm. And I find that, you know, it takes away my contact with water as well, because I don't think there's so much toxicity in water. And the Morgellon structure, Mel, thrives. You know this, it thrives within water. So water is like creating a growth environment for these particular types of microbial agents that are part of the infections we're dealing with as well.
When I lived in Reno, I used to go to Lake Tahoe in the summer at least once, maybe twice a week, Sag Harbor, and that would bathe in Lake Tahoe. I mean, you can be 100 feet out and you can still see the bottom.
Yeah, that's close to where I'm at and where you used to be. It's a beautiful lake, absolutely.
No, and then Gardnerville with those 1,000-foot deep artesian wells. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Miss those days, Peter. Miss those days. Let's see now. And Margaret, anything else before we move along? You're not muted.
Can I ask one more thing?
Yes, you can ask one more thing. Go ahead.
When you say a bottle of enzymes, are you talking about Clean Green, or is this another?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm talking about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now,
so you say like a water bottle full, or?
Yeah. Just I'll put four ounces of the concentrate in, fill the bottle up, shake it to where it foams, and stand in my tub, and it's like taking a shower, except I'm not using the shower head with water. I'm using that to dump on my head. And, you know, there's shampoos that Kathy offers. And I'm not saying you don't shampoo your hair from occasionally or take a shower. The other thing that's really important, Margaret, is biofilms will build in our shower heads. So when you turn it on, let it run for a couple minutes outside of the bathroom, or at least 30 seconds, to clear that biofilm. You don't want to jump right in with all that hot steam and breathe in those biofilms. That's really an assault to our internal terrain that we can avoid if we just, and then clean your shower heads regularly with enzymes, or if you can afford it, even put a filter into your shower head that will reduce biofilms, because we're breathing those in the steam, and we want, it's the total number of insults to the body that we want to reduce. You're filling your gas up with car and you smell the gas go around the back and get upwind, because that's benzene. You don't want to smell that. It's the total amount of insults that causes our immune system to be overwhelmed. If we reduce those, then we'll thrive. So there you go. It's a great question, Margaret. Thanks. Bless your heart, sister. I'm glad you're in the right place. So stay the course, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you so
much. She's not going anywhere, this one. And, you know, I already put out my last $10 on a bet that she would get well. You know me, if I bet 10 on somebody, it's a sure thing. I'm such a cheapskate.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say cheapskate, I should just say always poor. Sounds better. All right. You know, Pete, when we were talking, and I went over my head at the moment, and it slipped in, but everyone kept talking. Robert Scott Bell, you know, he uses silver in a way through nebulizers to help clear the lungs of mold toxicity.
Yes.
Do you remember him talking about that?
Yes, I do. And for folks that are having a lot of issues, maybe with diverticulitis, constipation, diarrhea, digestive problems, to where we're getting the support through the digestive enzymes in your protocol and the probiotics. He also has what he calls the aloe vera silver protocol, where it's a bit pricey, but you might benefit a great deal for those folks that fit into that category to bite the bullet and buy a bottle of a big bottle of the silver and mix it two ounces of a good organic aloe vera juice two to one, for every 2 ounces to 1 ounce of silver. And the aloe vera then gets it past the gastric juices down into the intestines, where it will really work for things like SIBO, it's called, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which will happen with our disease. The ileocecal valve is a valve that separates our colon from the intestines. We want good bacteria in the colon, but not in the intestines. So this ileocecal valve will get inflamed, and that's only a one-way valve. The bacteria will get into the intestines where it doesn't belong, create all kinds of problems, and bacterial opportunities for biofilm. And again, we've got to fix the gut with our disease. So that his particular aloe vera protocol, again, 2 ounces of aloe vera juice to 1 ounce of silver. If you do a cycle of that bottle and do that 2 or 3 times a day, clearly it will make a huge difference for those of you that are facing challenges that are continuing to create difficulties for you in your intestinal tract and your digestion, okay? Something for you to consider. And Mel, he's told that to your audience on several occasions. I just want to reinforce how valuable a tool it is.
Well, we have a lady who's on this call who I won't mention that has had just a horrible time with a multitude of different things. And it doesn't seem that none of us have been able to figure out exactly why. And I'm thinking, you know, I got you here, and I'll bet you'll come up with something that just might register in this person, okay, and might be beneficial. So that's why I brought that up again.
So, I understand. I hope we can figure out that for her. So here's, you know, the question comes up, and Robert Scott's explained it to you, but I want you guys to understand, the reason silver doesn't kill good bacteria is because it doesn't work like an antibiotic. What it does is it creates an environment to where bad bacteria cannot thrive. So again, that idea that it creates a better environment for the good bacteria to thrive and compete and keep the bad bacteria in check is how it heals. It doesn't go through there and kill bacteria. It just stops the growth. It inhibits the growth of the bad bacteria, and then the good bacteria will come into balance and take care of it on its own. That's why silver is so effective. And remember, sovereign silver has a small particle size, 10 parts per billion. You don't want, people will advertise, our silver's better because it's 5,000 parts per billion. Well, you don't want that, and I'll tell you why real quick. I'll paint a picture for you. If you look at your cell membrane as a screen door, and you look at a 5,000 particle parts per million silver product, it's like taking a marble and throwing it up against that screen. And if that screen is the cell wall, the marble's not going to get into the cell and kill infection. It's going to bounce off. If you have a small 10 parts per million, which is what our sovereign silver is, component size, particle size, it's like spraying a spray bottle through the screen. It goes right through, gets right into the cell, and then inhibits the growth of the bacteria. It just shuts it down, doesn't kill it, just shuts it down. So it doesn't interfere with the natural cellular activity as well going on. That's why it's so valuable. So anybody, you know, it's like that notion that John tells us, more is not always better. You know, you don't want to drive a nail for a picture with a sledgehammer. A hammer does better. So make sure you don't get fooled by particle size. And also the last thing then is 175,000 doses it'll take for you to get agraria, which is where your body turns blue from too much silver. So you don't have to worry about that as a problem either, which is why Mel's got it in his protocol. It's the right silver and why Robert Scott Bell advocates for it as well. So I wanted you guys to understand that, okay? Particle size is important, and it's also, it's bioelectric. It's, you know, it's electrified, and that's why it works. It doesn't kill. It shuts down growth, okay?
Okay, well, hey, good for me, okay? You okay there, Margaret?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said you're okay there, right?
I'm great. Thank you.
I told you you'd love this guy, right?
Oh, love him. Love him, love him.
Love him. All right, Pete, we got you a hot date. No, I'm only kidding. Come in, Linda.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be here with
morning.
You. Thanks for
good
coming.
Good morning, Linda. How you doing? Glad you're here, sister.
Thank you. A lot of my questions have already been answered. It's really great information. I appreciate it so much. But, yeah, I had a lot of the things that you were talking about, issues, but I've been working on them all, you know, with protocol and so on. But a lot of the things I was curious about, you've already answered. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Praise the Lord. You know, he has given me, I give all credit and honor to the Lord because he's given me a special discernment. And there's a scripture that says, give freely to others what has been gifted freely to you. That's why, you know, Mel and I do this from our heart, just because we want to see you guys heal. And he has shown me so much. It's like he fills my cup up and I just want to pour it out to you guys and have you understand what I do. But he gets all, I found his favor, and to share with you guys is an honor and brings great joy, because you guys need to understand the totality of things. And the more we can give you, Mel and I, in little pieces on these calls, and that's why, again, he wants you to take notes and use a book. I've got journals around. I'm surrounded by journals. So I journal throughout my recovery, and I still visit them with an issue, and it'll give me some information, like I said, that'll resurface it. I'll go, wow, I'd forgotten that. And then I can apply it to someone to help someone again.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But thank you for that compliment. I appreciate you. And if you stay the course here, I'm fully persuaded you will get well.
I'm working on it. Thank you.
No, me this is another months. Warrior here. Another warrior, buddy.
Yeah. And you know what, Mel? You know this. Morgellons is a state. It's not a thing. It's a state of imbalance in the body and all the things that are out of balance. I like to tell people when they're really stressed, they say, I'm so sick. I'll say, no, you're not sick. You're out of balance. All we have to do is bring you back into balance. And it took me 17 months, Mel, you know that. And then another 2 years to resolve one issue that was Lyme related. It finally resolved, but it's not, it's a state. It's not a thing. And it takes time. It's not going to happen quickly. There is no silver bullet for this. But we restore the terrain. We restore adrenal function. We reverse endocrine suppression. And the immune system comes back on board. The cellular energy potential that John talks about improves. And, you know, all of a sudden we're healthy again. And when we're healthy, the symptoms, we get clear of symptoms. That's how it works. And I'm living proof of it. And so is Mel and so many others here before you guys that are here this morning. So there you go.
Well, I'm looking forward to that day when I do my happy dance.
Amen, sister. You will. I hope I'm there when you do. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
To rejoice with
all
you.
All right. Come in, Lori. Lori.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for sharing this wonderful information. It's very helpful.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions, like tons of them, but I'll start with a couple of things you said. One of the things you said, that the disease always stays with us, and which part of the disease, the Lyme, the Morgellons, toxic disease, which are we talking here, or is it all the same?
Okay, well, Morgellons, again, at its core, is a lack of mitochondrial health. So it's caused by too many heavy metals and too many infections for our body to handle. Now, there is, as part of these co-infections, one particular bacteria that has been cultivated in the laboratory, in vitro, in its primitive form. There's categories that we look at to classify bacteria. So it's a bacteria that can make biofilms and self-filament. It's highly acidic, which is why our body goes acidic. And it's highly electromagnetic, which is why, you know, we pay attention to our devices and not getting around too much, you know, electromagnetic frequencies from our computers. So this bacteria is growing and thriving, and it's been found by a gentleman, good friend of the Morgellons community by the name of Clifford Conacon. He has a 503C institute where he's been studying these particular infections agents that are related to Morgellons for a great number of years. So it's bacterial. When we can get the bacteria reduced and keep it from flourishing in the body, then we're going to be fine. But if the body gets out of balance again because we're around chemicals, or we're eating foods that aren't healthy, that have glyphosate, herbicides, pesticides, particularly for women, John talks about the endocrine system, your hormones, and xenoestrogens that interfere with proper hormone production for women. All of those things then can trip us back into Morgellons. But if we keep it, it's always going to be there, but it shouldn't create any fear, because there's so many other types of infections that are in our body as well. The body naturally uses them to stay in a state of balance, what's called homeostasis. And so if we understand that, we don't have to be fearful. We have to just make sure that we put in play, as we get well from this disease, the things it teaches us, the best practices. And I believe a big part of that, by the way, is to come into faith and relationship with God. You know, I think that's important as well. So I use the term, I don't like the term healing, because healing says you had a thing going on. It's a state that you bring back into balance. And I use the term remission. And so I consider myself in remission and clear of symptoms because of my remission for some 8 years now. I just don't have the symptoms. But I believe that if I started eating poorly again, you know, I have a history of alcohol and drug abuse. I'm 23 years sober now, but if I started doing those behaviors again and fell out of relationship with God and stopped, you know, expressing good genes by going to church and shooting in a Christian pool league and, you know, having fellowship with folks like you, if I stopped doing those things, then I again become a candidate for the immune suppression that can trip me back into Margellans. That's what I mean to say, but you don't have to have any fear about it if you understand it in that way. Okay, does that answer your question? I know I gave you a lot.
No, it was very good. Yeah, I got the gist of it.
Okay, now just in case you didn't understand, Peter, her number one issue is fear.
Okay, I understand. Well, second, I would send you, it was for me, I wrote a post once, Mel, I don't know if you remember, fear will sadly, what's your first name again, ma'am? Who is this again? I'm terrible with names, forgive me.
Lori. Luscious Lori. How do you like that, Lori? You like that, Lori? Luscious Lori, the grandma?
Well, I wrote a post once, Lori, that fear will saddle up and ride beside you and be worse than the disease sometimes. And what I did again was, you know, I came into relationship, a deep relationship with God to deal with fear. And one of the scriptures in 2 Timothy 1:7 is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, of love. And the last part is the most important, and a sound mind, which is what I want you guys to understand. The reason in what's really taken place with our disease and fear, once you understand it in the truth of what it is, the fear will come down. And that is what I always want to empower you to do, Lori, is to understand the truth of your disease so that then you don't have to be fearful. And then go to that scripture whenever you can. The Word of God is a powerful healing tool as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Another question I have is, you mentioned that, because I read your diet and the different things, you ate stuff that we have taken out of our diet, and yet you still got well. And some of those were like cereals, like oatmeal and stuff, and energy bars. And that was a question that our diet is more strict than yours, where we stay 30 carbs or less a day.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Diet is critical. When I was very sick, I had a very strict diet. Mel and I can pretty much eat whatever we want right now within reason. I think you have to eat organic because organic foods are free of something called glyphosate, which is a particular herbicide, insecticide that you may have heard about that is extremely toxic to our cellular mitochondrial function. So it's poison to us. I think resistant starches are real important. Those are things that root vegetables give us resistant starches. Those build more colonies and work with the flora that's in Mel's protocol. Things like sweet potatoes, you may have to limit them because of sugar considerations early on, but they're still going to help you. You want to integrate them into your diet over time. Onions, cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower, Brussels sprouts and cabbage and onions, those are all extremely important to, again, create an environment internally where we're not giving the opportunities for these particular infections to grow. It shuts down their growth. So if you can eat those types, and they're called tubers, T-U-B-E-R-S, if you want to take your discovery there. Root vegetables, beets, anything that grows underground, even carrots. Carrots in moderation are very healthy to eat because their color tells you they give you something called retinol, which is very important to eye health. So I advocate for a diet called the rainbow diet, which is eat as many different colors of whole foods and natural foods as you can, but in moderation, you know, everything in moderation. So diet is critical. Try to eat those types of vegetables. Beans are a real good source of minerals.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! I gotta stop you, bro. Do you know we have you scheduled December 2nd for a show with Joe called Joe and Peter on Diet?
Yeah, amen. That will be a fun show. That'd be very significant.
Right. So I think we're gonna hold it here so we can recapture this entire audience and have them come to that show. Because we could spend an hour if I let you go on this, and 5 new people joined us in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, that is my thing. You know that nutrition. I'm a certified nutritionist.
Oh, no, that's why I had the whoa, 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 and everyone's telling me to keep quiet. I hear them all talking. But no, I can't. Because you're going to do a whole 2-hour show with Joey in 3 weeks? 3 weeks, yeah, it's not that far off. So be there or be square. But before we continue with the guests and questions, Lori, you opened the can of worms. I'm going to get you.
I know.
One of your dear friends, as good a friend to you as he is to me and to all of us, welcome in Peter John B.
Well, good afternoon, Peter. I love you, brother. And
good morning,
I just wanted to come by here and say how happy I am that you are once again ministering in our midst here in this community. And I didn't come earlier because, number one, it's my grandson's birthday today. But number two, I didn't want to steal any of your thunder and any of your valuable time or sharing with these folks. But we'll have many more opportunities, Lord willing, and I look forward to that.
Amen. Thank you for stopping by. This man, folks, is, as Mel often says, the reason why we're here. You are such a blessing to this community, John. You have a generous heart, a servant's heart. We are all the better for you, brother. I've known you and loved you for over a decade now, and it's an honor to be in your presence anytime. But thank you for coming by, brother. Thank you.
Well, I love you, man. I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John, is that the grandchild you give guitar lessons to?
Yes, he's 5 years old. Actually, his birthday is real birthday is tomorrow, but my son's 32nd birthday is today. So we're all together in Augusta celebrating both my son's and my grandson's birthday.
All right, a twofer. My friend Richard loves twofers. All right, let's get back to it. Thanks, John, for stopping by. He's been, as advertised, Peter the Great.
Oh, I know. I love it. I love that advertisement, too. That was awesome.
Hey, doesn't he look good leading the Vikings?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know me, I give all credit and honor to the Father, to God, for my healing, for what I know, and for the blessing of Mel and John in my life is a gift from God as well. So we give all credit to him, John. You know that.
Well, I love the Peter the Great because you are most definitely a warrior. You're a prayer warrior and one of my most valued prayer warriors.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Appreciate that. Amen.
Yes, sir. Love you, brother. Y'all have carry on. Have a blessed day, and I'm going back to loving on grandbabies.
Hey, right. For your, thanks for stopping by, John. Give him a kiss for me.
I love you, man.
I love you too, babe.
God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Mel, did he send you the picture of him playing guitar with the grandbaby as well? Is that what you're referring to in your guitar comment?
Yeah, I've been waiting for his next post to put the picture in.
You ought to put that up. That's such a great picture. You ought to put that up, maybe. Think about
that. No, I am. It's in the plans. It's in the works. All right. Let's see. Lori, are you done?
I just had one more. You had mentioned something that you were going to go over, and I don't know if you're going to do this with diet or not, that you can have something that will help people that are getting closer to that end, because they seem to be really struggling right now. If you had any ideas.
Are you struggling with constipation, stool transit, or what's your actually the struggle? Indigestion, what is it actually?
Probably more herxing. I've got a lot of debris. Tons. Multi. Millions.
Oh, billions. Herxing through your skin issues?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, well, that's that's part of getting well. We call that purging. And, you know, that's your skin pushing out debris and die off, which is a good thing that mm-hmm. your bowel and bladder can't handle. So it's picking up the slack. It's going to cycle, but you're going to see the cycles diminish over time and be less severe. That's what you want to look for. Now, if you have issues with constipation and things, get some aloe vera juice. Drink aloe vera juice and eat radishes. If you get stool gets bound up, those will help a great deal. Okay?
You know, Peter, I know her for a while now, and it just dawned on me during this call. I think one of the issues that she's confronted with that nobody has mentioned is that there's mold in her office.
Mm, yeah, there was mold in mine as well. That's not good, kiddo.
Well, that's why, because she's here for X amount of time. But she's getting better, but the exit is not getting less at all. And so that keeps her in fear, which aggravates the whole thing. Now, telling her that there's mold in her office, but I bet on it, because it seems that on the Saturday and Sunday she's better than any other day in the week, and that would be after being not in the office for 2 days.
Yeah. So, Lori, I worked in an office, Mel, that had mold as well, and I leaned on enzymes a lot to keep the mold down. Once I got well, I was getting well and stopped shedding, I would just spend more my office actually became my safe place in the building because I was treating for the mold in there. And thankfully, they didn't have ducted heating. They had, you know, heating in the window in each area. But if you're in a building with ducting and has mold, that's a big challenge, especially if it's your work site. But we just can't be in a mold environment. That's a big part of Morgellons is mold toxicity. So that's
a
tough
one. I think I gave her something else to be afraid of, but I think that she's got to do a little investigating now. Because really,
she
should be further along than she is, Pete. She's really diligent.
I sprayed and got in huge trouble trying to spray. They won't let me, but I'm also off of, I'm in a dairy, so it's very cold.
I had that same issue. Management got upset with me as well because I would alternate between Otaban, which is real good to reduce. They use it in hospitals and things and restaurants to reduce, you know, 99% of viral and fungal activity. And then I would use the enzymes as well. But they gave me a hard time, too. I understand it. It's a tough challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's
something that you now have to kind of consider.
Okay.
Because, it's not worth the job if that's what the problem is. You'll just have to either retire or find another job. Less stressful, too. But you have to start investigating the environment. Because, you know, I noticed when I talk to you on Mondays, it's always your best day. Did you notice that?
Yep. Yeah, I always notice that I feel good on the weekends, and then I'm back to feeling sick again. Yep.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to bring it up in this call, but we'll talk more about it.
Okay? Let me say one last thing to her, Mel. I was in my community, Mel, you know, for 13 years, and they forced me to retire because I wouldn't vaccinate Lori, and I lost my purpose. I lost my financial future security, my financial security for the future. I lost a lot, and it was devastating, but I'll tell you what, I felt better being out of that place, and I realized that God had moved me out of there for a reason. I'd kind of fulfilled my purpose there. That's the Ecclesiastes is a book in the Bible that talks about a season for everything. That season had ended. That chapter in my life was closed, and I opened a new one. It was difficult, but I just am sharing with you that I saw tremendous benefit in getting out of that environment, which supports what Mel is teaching you guys, that mold has to be dealt with. We cannot ignore it. Okay. God will lead you through it, sister.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then
Lori, don't cut my throat.
I won't. No, I love you. You're helping me so much. You didn't mention WPS, Peter. Did you use it with the Clean Green?
I sprayed that as well. Thank you for bringing that up. That was the third part, and it's interesting because you mentioned getting hassled. When they hassled me over the odor of the Odaban, which has kind of a clean smell, actually. We don't want to smell a lot of that, by the way. You don't want to smell a lot of Odaban. That's another insult to the immune system. But I went to WPS, based upon Mel's formula, and would spray that, and that cleared antibacterial biofilms from all the walls and stuff in my office as well. Now, I don't know if you're in a cubicle or have your own office in a setting where there's others around, but at least there's no smell to that. So that'll work well if you can get that into your environment without people knowing. It won't offend them in that way.
Okay. Thank you very much.
God bless you, sister. Well, stay the course.
Thank you.
End every call with Lori with a laugh, Steve. Every call. She can't get away without laughing. I won't let her hang up.
Good for you, brother. And that's one of the hardest challenges, you know, is the mold. When we have a mold area where we work, we got to make a living. What do? It's a real difficult challenge.
And everybody always wants to be in denial, you know. But I'm thinking, and you're talking, and I'm thinking today, and I'm going, that's what the problem is. The poor girl's in a mold environment at work. Because really, her weekends are really good, especially Sundays. Monday, she sounds a hell of a lot better than Wednesday and Friday. So that's got to be it, Pete.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I love Sherlock Holmes, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You are a Sherlock Holmes. We both are, in trying to figure out the deeper things we have to understand about this disease to get well.
All right, I agree with you, bro. Thanks, Lori. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Ruth Ann. Good morning, Ruth Ann, my dear.
Hi. Hi, Peter. Good to hear your voice again.
Ruth Ann, how you doing, sister? Good to hear your voice as well.
Well, do you remember? I don't want to go through stuff that you remember.
She knows. I prepped them this morning all about
okay.
you, babe.
All right. Do you have any suggestions? I, it's created havoc in my body. The cell phone has.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned it off and put it in the drawer and haven't used it since. But I used it for a week, maybe 10 days, and I realized this is not going to work. This is what's causing my issues. And I was in, I ended up
decent
in the hospital.
Shape. Right, decent shape, Peter. And then she wound up in a hospital with what's going on today.
What was actually the symptom that drove you to the hospital? Can I understand what that was?
My heart was beating irregular.
So you had that's called tachycardia, a racing heart?
I have irregular heartbeat. That's what I always called it. No.
Did they use the term AFib, atrial fibrillation? Did they use that term with you?
Okay. Yeah, AFib. Anyway, but Peter, I have not had any problem in a year with my heart beating irregular.
Mm-hmm. So
and
one of the
all of a sudden after I got that cell phone and I started using it, where I touched the cell phone, you know, you touch your cell phone with your finger and you do something on it to create what you want.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Was it a 5G phone?
Yeah. Well, what can you buy today that's not?
Well, see, God is using you, Ruth Ann, to bring forth something real important. Mel, I want your audience to understand. I just finished a body of research, and there is now an acknowledged circumstance, health criteria, called microwave syndrome. I expected years to unfold before anyone would acknowledge in the medical community that this is a consideration. Ruth Ann, it's vital what you're doing. I haven't used my computer in 6 months. I do everything from my phone. I refuse to move to 5G because the frequencies in 5G are going, they're much more intrusive. They go deeper into the subcutaneous layers of our skin. And again, if we're dealing with a bacterial component that is highly electromagnetic, it's going to thrive. And so the key is to spend the key is to avoid 5G devices as long as you're possible. They're going to all force us into them eventually. But I remain on my 4G phone, and I don't use your computer. Limit your time in front of your devices, folks. And it doesn't surprise me that when you put your phone away and separate it from that frequency, that you thrive. And Robert Scott Bell would also come alongside me in this understanding. Electromagnetic frequencies are killing our immune systems. And so the less frequencies we can get ourselves in play with, the better you're going to be, sister. So
okay, now everyone in my neighborhood I live in has 5G phones, and it's not harming them. Why am I different?
You have a compromised immune system.
Amen. I would say you have to have that. It's not, I mean, how old are they? You know, what type of work history do they have? How much toxicity have they built up over the course of their life? There's a lot of things in play. I don't want you to do a compare and contrast like that. That's not a very good idea. It's better to just focus on the fact that you are thriving when you avoid the presence of those frequencies in your life by avoiding your phone. You should never have your phone touching your body. It should always be 6 inches away. You should put your phones, folks, on airplane mode when you sleep. You don't want to sleep with your head anywhere near, if you're in an apartment building, the meters, the smart meters that are outside. You want the head of your bed to be as far away from those in your bedroom as possible. So locate where they are if you're in an apartment, and structure your bedroom to where your bed's away. Electromagnetic frequencies, and now an acknowledged microwave syndrome, is critical that we understand to avoid for immune health. And they're not sick yet, but it's just a matter of time as they age, and the experience of those frequencies will degrade their health eventually. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Okay?
Well, okay. What my history, which you know, and I'm not going to go into it particularly, but the history that I've had, this is like a 25-year thing that I've had to deal with. And that is due to an injury I had. And all I can tell you is nobody else knows what it is, but it was a reset of my ability to handle vibration.
Right.
From an accident. Well, that has progressed to where I am today with what I just, you know, Mel told you and what I told you.
Right. So you're a little bit older, right? I've followed your story. I've heard your calls many times. You're 80 something.
81.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basically don't have a common things that people my age have.
Absolutely. This protocol is keeping you from those things, I'm sure.
Amen. Amen.
Let me ask you one question, and Mel, I think you're aware of this, but we are living in a post-COVID environment, Ruthann. You're aware of that. So whether or not we vaccinated becomes critical in our recovery from our disease, from our syndrome. So were you vaccinated?
No.
Okay, good. That's a blessing.
I haven't taken a vaccine for anything in years.
Peter, okay. I am so anti-vaccine that I got... Nobody that's on this call took the jab. Nobody.
Yeah, and God is using you, Ruthann, to bring forth something very important for your audience to understand, folks. COVID is not a respiratory disease, okay? It is a vascular disease. It uses the pathway that those people that are familiar with beta blockers or blood pressure drugs, they use something called the ACE2 pathway. It's another Scrabble word. It stands for angiotensin converting enzyme. What the spike protein does in the vaccinations is it clogs up that pathway. That pathway is directly related to how our vascular network, our arteries, how pliable they are, how much they hold sodium and potassium, which are electrolytes, to control blood pressure. So in the kidneys, when blood pressure drops, it creates angiotensin, which goes through the blood, and then it's supposed to be converted into this enzyme using that system to control blood pressure. That system is being downregulated. So what we're seeing is mini microclots in the vascular endothelial lining of our arteries. And that creates blood leaking. It creates massive inflammation. And where are most of those ACE2 receptors located? In the lungs and in the heart. So we see racing heart. We see AFib. We see myocardia, which is just an inflammation of the heart. We see pericarditis, which is an inflammation of the sac around the heart, because that pathway is being affected by those spike proteins that are within the vaccination. Point being, I want you guys to understand there's a test called the D as in dime, D for dog, dash dimer, D-I-M-E-R. It will tell your doctors, don't know about it, but it's covered by most insurance companies. You can have that test done when you do blood work. That D-dimer test will determine whether or not you have elevated fibrin in your blood. Fibrin is an enzyme, it's a protein that comes from the body breaking down these mini blood clots. So if you have elevated fibrin in your blood, you know that you have vascular issues that you need to address. One of the best ways you can do that is to take something called bromelain, which is an enzyme in pineapples. It reduces the fibrin in the body. Back, if you remember Mel Deanna back in the day, she had rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune disorder. I discovered the value of fibrin. I didn't know about the D-dimer test, but I knew she had elevated fibrin from the research I was doing at the time. So we put her, you and I put her on bromelain. I shared it with you. We put her on bromelain. It resolved her rheumatoid arthritis in about 6 months. So the point I'm making is COVID, we're in a new environment. It's a vascular disease. We're already dealing with iron disruption from these Morgellons pathogens. They're changing the iron in our hemoglobin, which is why we get air hunger. So we're having trouble respiratory at a cellular level. Then we introduce this ACE2 pathway being downregulated by these COVID spike proteins. And whether or not you're vaccinated or not, you're still around people in groups that are shedding them, so you're coming in contact with them. So you can't avoid
that's
it.
What I was going to say, Peter. You can be breathing them in. They can jump on your skin because people who took these shots and these stupid boosters and the new flu shot, they're shedding through their skin disease.
Yes, and you have always been mindful, as I have, of the value of diagnostics when it comes to primary care physicians. So if you can remember that test, D-dimer, request it. It should be covered by insurance, but you may have to ask for it, Ruth Ann. That'll tell you if your AFib or your heart issues or what's going on in any way with your body is a result of elevated fibrin. And then you can take bromelain, make sure you're taking your serapeptase, the magnificine from John. And those are going to eat through the spike proteins and clear that pathway and get rid of the fibrin that's causing inflammation. It's very important for people to understand this, Mel, the vascular component with COVID. Whether we're vaccinated or not, they're telling a lie that it, and Robert Scott Bell will tell you this, they're telling a lie that it's a respiratory disease. It's a disease causing inflammation in the lungs, and it's not, and causing infections to thrive again because the bacterial overgrowth comes from the inflammation. That's important for your audience to understand, Mel, and one of the things I wanted to share. So thank you, Ruth Ann, for opening that window for us.
Well, first I'll say something.
I've never heard of microwave syndrome, but I've lived in the house I'm in for almost 20 years, and the house that I lived in before that, we had a microwave, and I heard something about microwaves were not allowed in Europe. So this is like 25 years ago. And I thought, why aren't they allowed? And the only thing I remember.
Mel, do you use a microwave, Mel? I'm sorry to speak over you. Okay, I got rid of mine as well. I just wanted to make that point. I don't use microwaves.
No, it's in the house, but I don't turn it on. I like to make my bacon the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, I haven't had a microwave for a little over 20 years.
Okay, that's smart.
Ruth Ann, I'm gonna cut you short because we got five or six more people and we're already way by time. I'm sorry. We'll be back. Peter will be back again. He'll be back in December with Joey and Diet. He'll be back in January with Robert Scott Bell. We can talk about microwave, 5G, these miserable pharmaceutical companies, anything you want. But right now, we got to move on. I'm sorry. All right.
God bless you, Ruth Ann. Always good to hear from you. You're doing pretty good.
Let's see, that is Catherine of the Desert. Do you have any questions?
Hi, Peter. It's so nice to have you on today. You're so full of good information.
Hey, Sister Gabriel. Good to hear your voice. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing much better. I'm doing pretty good, knock on wood. I've, as you used to tell me, reached out to God for God's help. I praise him every day for all his help, too, which is really helpful. And I am
Amen. Did any of those tips I gave you last time we talked, is that part of how you're doing better? Did they help?
I didn't understand that. Say that again.
I said, did any of the suggestions that we talked about last time we spoke, did that help?
Yes, a lot. Yes. And you've helped me to get closer to God, too, because you're so close to God.
Amen, sister. Bless your heart.
And I'm using the nebulizer with the Sovereign Silver. When I get to the computer, I use that while I'm at the computer, and I think it's really helped a lot.
Well,
you hear that, Mel?
No, I know. I've been pushing her on that direction for over 2 years, Peter.
Nebulizing silver is a great strategy, folks.
Right. I mean, when it was brought here by Robert, I mean, you know, it works. That's all that matters, okay?
I'm just using it more now.
Well, yeah, okay, because things are not, we're not progressing enough. He always told you, you start slow, like I say, and you increase until it's going to really be beneficial. I'm glad you're doing as well as you're doing. All right, anything else, Catherine? Because we got more people we got to get to.
No, thank you.
I love you, sister. I'm glad you're thriving and doing better. You stay the course, all right, and stay in touch. I love you.
Hello, Nancy. Come in, Nancy.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Peter. Everything sounds so good that you're talking about and explaining. And it takes us years to understand all of it, doesn't it, Peter?
Yes, ma'am. And you've learned so much over your journey and been so dedicated to this protocol and what we teach. That's why you're doing so well. I'm very, very pleased for the course you chose and how well you're doing. And what you're bringing to this community, you bring a lot, sister. I just wanted to lift you up. It's commendable.
Well, you know, my doctors that I was going to and still see these two, my main doctor and then my cancer doctor, it's male nose, they were blown away by the improvements in my health. I'll be 76 in December, and they just can't get over how much I have healed. And they looked John and them up online. Both of them did. And it's just been amazing. I wish I'd knew all this knowledge years ago, because being a nurse, you think we would learn these things. But I worked with hospice for years and with the school district. And, you know, it's sad that this information, that we can't learn it earlier in life. When I grew up, we ate the food out of our garden, and we lived in the country, and it was a very religious family. And then it seemed like the world just changed, and my male knows so many people, there's only a few of us left in our family. But I'm teaching my grandsons and my daughter and them to live the way we live. And my son-in-law just decided to change his diet because he went to his physical, and they said that he had borderline diabetes. And so he got to looking, and he's lost 23 pounds, and they've cut out the sugar, and they're really changing, which I've been trying to get them to do for a while. But, you know, sometimes you have to hit them over the head with a hammer. But I'm still learning, and all I do is pick up the phone, and me and Mel play phone tag a lot. And he's helped me get over so many of the other things, like I'm still having trouble with my beet juice, with my blood pressure, because my doctor don't want to take me off of my blood pressure medicine, and she's changed some of it. But it's still, I'm still having trouble with it getting where it should be. But it's always been a little bit high. And then when I went for my eye checkup the other day, I have a new doctor. My doctor retired, and it's a young lady that I don't think she could have been out of school too long. But she's taking pictures of her eyes to have them in the file from year to year so she can see any difference in them. And mm-hmm. she told me she thought that something swole in the back of my eyes, and I've been having a lot of styes in my right eye, and she's afraid that what she's looking at, that I could be a candidate for glaucoma. But nobody in our family ever had that. She asked me that. Nobody's ever had it.
And so, Mel, I want to stop you there real quick because I want you to understand something that I discovered. Mel, I want you to know this too. The Optisite product that John introduced a couple years back, I think we're all deficient with Morgellons with vitamin A. I think we need additional support outside of what the thymic has given us. And the Optisite gives that with lutein, which is, so I would want you to cycle in, you know, every couple of months, a bottle of the Optisite, okay?
We just started with the, right, Nancy?
Yes, it did.
That's an incredible product for eye health, sister. Incredible. It's actually improved my vision. My optometrist said that she'd never seen myopia go the other direction. And the only thing I can attribute it to is the vitamin A in there. And then I studied vitamin A, Ruth Ann, and most of us are vitamin deficient in B12. We already know that with Morgellons, but now vitamin A as well. Retinol, so, and probably because we cut out things like carrots for sugar, Mel, but that is an important product. And again, Mel, you know what she's doing? You're proving what God, that Romans 8:28 says God works all things together for good. You're showing the blessing in the disease by paying it forward to your family, the grandchildren, your children, and then seeing the results. That's your fear when you see your son come out of metabolic syndrome, lose 20 pounds, and be less of a candidate for type 1 diabetes. You can rejoice in that, and then your body will heal through that rejoicing as well. So it's a purposeful disease, and I just had to comment on what a gift it is that you're paying it forward like that. And Mel, that's your fruit as well, brother. You know, there's the fruits of the Spirit that Galatians talks about. So it's a purposeful disease, and it turns out to be a blessing in these ways. I just want to share that. Thank you.
I tell Mel, I say I thank God for it because it's really turned my life back around 100% from what it was. And it's put up between Mel saying, quit worrying about stuff or get over it. But between God and Mel, my anxiety and stuff level and just being worried about things has really, really come way down. And every now and then, if I start to think, worry about something, or when I'm doing something, I just start singing a hymn. And one of my favorite hymns is He Set Me Free. And if I can't think of another one, I just sing that and sing myself to sleep. But, you know, really bringing all this back to us as far as preparing us to get ready and be able to help other people. I think one of the first conversations that Mel and I had, and he was talking about being warriors, and I told him, I said, yeah, I thank God's making us warriors in his army.
Amen. Amen, sister. I agree. And you're paying it forward, and that's healing as well for you. And, you know, Mel and I, we used to celebrate a song called I'd Rather Be Happy Than Right, because him and I used to have issues where we had differences of opinion. And, of course, I wasn't as tolerant in those days as I was now. Now I recognize how God is using him in different ways than he uses me. But that song, Mel, remember that song? We used to sing it together, tearful eyed every now and then when I was getting well and we were rejoicing in it together. I'd rather be happy than right. Do you remember that?
We also did Be Happy, Don't Worry, you know?
Yeah, that's another one.
The Jamaican guy, let me tell you about the song I wrote. All right, I'll keep quiet. Never mind. Go ahead, Peter.
Nancy, you're a blessing. Keep paying it forward. Keep spreading the good news. So many people don't understand how to get well from this. And you're a blessing. And you're doing pretty good for your age. I'm 70 and thriving, and just keep doing what you're doing.
I am, and with the help of Mel and God and information we learned from people that's already been through and it, there's no reason I don't think that any of us cannot get well 100%. Like you said, though, I think we'll always have it. We just have to learn to deal with it. Because I've read a couple of autopsy reports that said that they have found that, in, you know, when they do autopsies on people, that some people still have it.
And people never ceases to amaze me how people get concerned about reinfection. I'm always telling them, Well, let's get you back in balance and get you in remission before you worry about reinfection. You know, that's putting the cart ahead of the apple. But you're doing great. I've listened to you several times on Mel's calls. And for your age, sister, you are the exception, not the norm. And it's directly related to the influence Mel and this community and this protocol has had in your life. Just keep paying
it's
it forward.
It's also her work ethic, Peter. I mean, she's willing to put in the work. She reads. She writes. She talks. She communicates. She shares what she's learned with others. She's one of the few who does. This
That's
is
right
a
back
very
to where
quiet
we began group. It circles us right back to where we began this call, Therapeutic Alliance. You're involved in alliances with people and family and things in this community, and that is therapeutic. It is helping you stay healthy, and it did help you establish your remission. There you go. There's truth in that.
All right, Nancy. I love you, darling, even though I play phone tag with you, and I'll get you later. All right. Come in, Dale. Come in, Dale.
Hey, Mel. Hey, Peter. I appreciate you taking the time for the call and all of your knowledge that you're sharing.
Hey, Dale. I'm glad you're here, brother. Nice to talk to you.
I had started on Mel's protocol about 2 years ago, and I've seen a lot of improvement, still dealing with symptoms. One thing, and this may be time for another call, if so, you can tell me. But one thing that I started dealing with recently was a fungal toenail. And also what looks like athlete's foot. And I didn't know if there's something I should be doing differently or
any kind
of natural remedy that you would recommend or you know of.
Got a quick fix for you for that, okay? Maybe uncomfortable at first, but it'll make all the difference in the world. I still do it to this day. And it's spray your socks down with Clean Green before you put them on in the morning and go off to work or your activities of daily living. Spray your socks with Clean Green, okay? Now, people will say, I can't put wet socks on my feet. Well, actually, they dry within about an hour, and it sets the environment in your feet for the rest of the day. That will reduce that. Brother, if you do that over time, it'll get real. I had the same issues. My feet were ravaged. My feet are as healthy as a child, as a baby's feet right now. And I still do that. Sometimes if I'm in a hurry, I won't do it. But most days, if I know I'm going to go out and be active for the day, I will start my day by spraying my socks with enzymes before I suit up my shoes and head out. That'll help a lot, okay?
And you spray it directly on your feet too? Or...
Well, you can do that as well. You want to soak your feet in MMS that Mel can help you with, and you also want to soak your feet in enzymes. That will help tremendously. But just the fact that our shoes create a heat and a moisture that fungus thrives in, and that's what you're dealing with. The enzymes will eat through all that junk, and then it'll put the material in your shoes. Over time, it'll saturate the material in your shoes, the leather or whatever your shoes are made of, with the enzyme component to where the fungus just can't grow. And then when you put the socks on wet in the morning and go off, they're dry by 11 o'clock. But at the same time, you've put socks on your feet and introduced that enzyme component to the skin that'll stay with you the rest of the day. I think that'll help you a great deal with that, brother. That's what I did. It works great. So there you go.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. So you didn't need to use any of the like athlete's foot spray and all that?
Now, no. I avoid all that stuff because all that stuff is nothing more. If we understand Morgellons is a disease of toxicity, we want to reduce the amount of things in the body that's outside of anything natural. Those creams and all those things that women use, they have things like sodium benzoate, propylene glycol, which is the same stuff that we put in our engine for antifreeze. They have industrial cleaners in them, all designed to get them into the skin. But when they go into the skin with whatever materials, the moisturizers, whatever, they're so toxic, it's like doing more harm than good. So I would avoid all that stuff. Now, there are some good, John might know some good antifungals. There are a couple good antifungals that'll work. But the enzymes do a great job, and they're natural. So that's what I advocate for.
Right, okay. Yeah, I did see a natural one, undecylenic acid, which I know you can take orally,
yeah, I'm familiar with undecylic acid. That's one I would advocate that's okay. Or if you're going to use it internally, in very small doses and in just a short cycle, okay? And you may find some benefit. Now, here's the other thing. The Bible says, if your feet, Christ said, if your feet are clean, you are clean. So I make sure before I go to bed every night, I clean my feet. If I may not shower that day, I make sure I take enzymes and a towel, and I clean my feet. And I do that because I believe in Scripture, and if your feet are clean, then it's an amazing way to set yourself up for a good night's sleep as well. Maybe a little clove oil on the bottom of your feet, too.
And and I have used Robert Scott Bell's protocol, the aloe and silver. That I had diverticulitis. I was in the hospital around the time that before I started on Mel's protocol, it was like a few months before that. But and that really did help. So I do believe in that. And one more question. I get a lot of floaters, and I can tell they are the Morgellons in my eyes, and it just, you know, I've tried the copper and silver in my eyes and also MSM drops. Should I just keep doing that?
Yeah, I think the Optocyte would help you as well. I think the vitamin A deficiencies are fueling a bit of that. That, again, is just a natural. There's a gel in the eye that lubricates the retina. That just gets a little bit infected, and then it breaks off and you get the debris. Floaters were real bad for me when I was sick. They will improve over time. Every now and then they'll come and I'll say, okay, what's going on? And that's when I'll cycle some additional silver into my sinuses and into my eyes. But that's a pretty natural thing. I think the Optocyte will help you with that, and the silver just, that should clear up over time, brother. Okay.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, Dale, didn't I tell you he had the answer to your feet?
Yeah, I just haven't had time to make a post, but yeah, I'm glad I was here for the call.
No, I know, bro. I'm happy that, you know, sometimes I actually feel like, well, maybe I'm not so stupid. And today, I love pineapples. They're in my diet, okay? They got something that Peter says we needed. I've loved pineapples my whole life. And then I told you and I told Margaret that he would have the answers to your questions, and he has. But you know what I learned the most? And you can all laugh even though you're muted. What I learned the most today so far is you don't want to play Scrabble against Peter.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is all the Scrabble. But here's something good out of it, Mel. If you're looking at ingredient profiles like we talked about when you're shopping and you see a word that you can't pronounce, chances are you should take that item and put it out of your cart back on the shelf. So just, if you can't say it, you don't want it in your body, is the rule I try to live by as well. There you go.
Anything else, Dale?
No, I think that's it. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, Dale, if you're busy and active, I've read your posts and heard you a couple times. You're active with family and work and things. Don't underestimate the value of the Ubinol for cellular energy. Okay, make sure you don't miss your Ubinol in the protocol. And also vitamin C is real important to help with collagen, with our body making collagen, which is when we're active, we need to have collagen to keep our musculoskeletal system strengthened. So make sure you're taking your vitamin C each day, and your Ubinol is real important so you'll have the energy you need right now. Okay.
I muted him. I'm sure it's okay. Hold on. Okay,
oh,
Dale?
Okay. Great. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it.
God bless you, brother. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Is that you, Karen? No? Okay. Good morning, 919. Who's that? 919, come in.
Hi, Mel. 919 is Karan.
Yeah, that's what I said. Karan. Yes, come in, Karan. Do you have a question for Peter?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, well,
he pretty much covers so much good information. I don't have anything.
All right. Happy birthday, darling.
Thank you.
All right. Peter, I think that about covers everybody. I'm going to unmute everyone, and if you make any background noise, kind of mute yourself, okay? Let's see how this works.
Yeah. So if you want, I wanted to make a quick closing statement. I know we've gone long today, but...
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to, you know, with this disease, it's real easy to lose sight of what we have to be grateful for. And the disease is a blessing, you know, at the end of the day. When we come through it, it allows us to get in a situation that Nancy's in, that Ruth Ann's in, that Mel's in, that I'm in, where we reach the latter third of our life and we have abundance and we have joy and health. And so once we come through the crisis, God turns it for good. So, you know, as I talk to you guys today, I want you to know that I'm grateful for the absence of brain fog. I'm grateful for emotional calm. I'm grateful for the energy that's available to me each day. I'm grateful for a body that's free from purging. I'm grateful for freedom from itching, biting, and stinging. I'm grateful for clothes that can once again be hung in my closet and put in drawers. I'm deeply grateful for the ministry here that Mel fulfills and that I fulfill, and that God has chosen us, chosen me for the, and instructs me to pursue regularly. So I make it a point, as I want you folks to be mindful of these things each day, because I believe with all my heart that we must fulfill God's purpose to remain wholly healthy. Christ was not fearful during the storm. He was at peace, and he didn't send the disciples out in the boat to sink it. He sent them out to build faith. His power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I want you to hold to that scripture. So it was in this way, folks, of thinking that it got me through the difficult times early on and throughout the, you know, the almost 2-year journey back to health. And the last thing I want to tell you is there are dental issues that kept me from getting completely clear that we need to correct and we cannot ignore. I do go through regular episodes. By regular, I mean 2 or 3 times a year. Of Lyme musculoskeletal pain. I use magnesium oil, and it clears it up in 10 minutes. So it's nothing that ever creates a problem. They come and go quickly, and it convinces me each time I have them that my immune response is aggressive yet balanced. So the truth is, folks, anyone here who is willing and able to remain patient and committed to the test of time, this protocol will heal. It will and does heal. So, you know, Mel, I pray daily that people here who suffer will find their way, or anyone out there in the toxic disease community will find their way to this profound truth. Stay committed, you guys. My message has always been God led you here. God has his hand on you, and he will work your brokenness into something powerfully wonderful. Stay committed. Stay the course. Give your immune system time to evolve and restore. And like so many others here before you, of which Mel and I lead the pack, you will succeed in taking your health back. Please believe it. Amen.
All right, Peter. I want to say that, again, I will not play Scrabble against you for money. No way. And I can't thank you enough because it's like advertised, Peter. Today's call was going to be things you might not know. And there it was. Things a lot of us didn't know. So... mm-hmm. I can't thank you enough. I look forward to your call on diet with Joey on December 3rd, 2nd, mm-hmm. 2nd, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks from now. Okay. And I would like you to stay here, Pete, when everyone leaves. I want to talk to you for just a minute. And how about on the count of 3, we all say thank you, Peter. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter. God bless you.
God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Stay the course.
All right, everybody. We're back tomorrow with prayer and fellowship. The best 2 hours of the week. We pray. Some don't. We communicate. We have fellowship. We hopefully have 1 or 2 positive stories, but we always have horrible jokes. So join us then. And we'll see you. Let's see. What do we have next week? Oh, my gosh. It's Mello the Magnificent, where I put on my cape and my turban, and I tell each and every person who comes to the call about their future. So if you want to laugh until you bust, show up next Saturday for Mello the Magnificent.
Goodbye, everybody, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
Hang on, Pete.